Good morning. Good to see you all. If you haven't met me before, I know there are a number of new faces. My name is Dilan Jayasingha. I'm the pastor of the church here, and it is wonderful to have you all. This morning is a special morning because we get to worship our God and listen to Him. Allow me to pray before I open God's word for us. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for who you are. God who speaks, and when you speak, things happen. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is at work in and through us and around us. Lord, we thank you for the work of Jesus, bringing us closer to you. This morning we pray, may our word bear fruit in our lives. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll have the Bible reading shortly. But just want to know, do you know who is the most followed person currently on Twitter or X, now as it is known? Yeah, do you know who is the most followed person on Twitter or X as it's known today? Taylor Swift? No. Do you follow Taylor Swift? Okay. Elon Musk, yes. He's like number 4 or 5. So Elon Musk, who's the owner of Twitter or X, yeah, he's the number one with around 170 million followers. And followed by Barack Obama, who has about 130. And then Justin Bieber comes number 3. 111 million followers. Well, we may not follow celebrities, but if we are honest, we follow someone, don't we? Someone or something. Because we're all wired to follow. We may follow success, finances, power, glory, family, money, politics, a job, a hobby, the latest trends. You may follow food, fun, excitement. Now, when we follow someone or something, we invest, don't we? We invest our time, our money, our thinking, our energy, and over time, we become so engrossed with these things that we follow, we find our security, our satisfaction, even our identity in them, don't we? But the problem is, things that we follow go out of date. They don't fully satisfy us, so we move on. We follow something new, someone new. The book of Mark, which we will study until Easter this year, is actually an invitation to follow someone who will not grow old or not be outdated. Someone who will not disappoint us. It is an invitation to follow the real King, Jesus. The book was written by a guy called John Mark, who to Romans in the first century who didn't believe Jesus, and he wrote it kind of 20 to 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So it is quite recent. And John Mark was actually, he was the scribe, he was the note taker for one of Jesus' main followers, Simon Peter. In other words, what we have in Mark, when you read the book of Mark or the Gospel of Mark, is actually the eyewitness account of Jesus found by Peter. Peter's eyewitness's account of Jesus. As he followed Jesus, he writes what it means to follow Jesus and who Jesus is. And why did he write this eyewitness account of Jesus? Quite simple. Because he wants people to find and follow the real King, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Mark doesn't have the birth narratives as other Gospels like Matthew, Luke. He doesn't mention about Mary or Joseph or the shepherds or the manger, the wise men. He doesn't have any genealogies of Jesus. He goes straight to the point, doesn't he? Verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Messiah or Christ is another word for king. But this king is no ordinary king. Right? He is also the Son of God. Now, if you're a Roman, you would be quite alarmed. Because Romans considered the emperor, the ruler of their nation to be a king and a son of God. So they worshipped him, they followed him, they took pride in the king. And then what does Peter do? He throws Jesus in to the ring. And I guess through Mark, Peter wants people to compare and consider following Jesus, the real king. Because after all, that's what Peter did, as we will see in Mark chapter 1. He followed Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, he invites us to do the same. So in the next 12 weeks or so, we will journey with Peter, following Jesus, the real King. And friends, my prayer is that through this sermon series, whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, whether you are a seasoned follower of Jesus or not, that we get to know Jesus better. That we will wholeheartedly follow Jesus. And then we will be good witnesses of him for the glory of God. Now, if that sounds familiar, that is our mission statement. Okay. To be followers and witnesses of Jesus for the glory of God. So, this morning, Lewis is going to come and read a few sections from Mark's Gospel. So, keep your Bibles open. The words will come up on the screen as well. Thanks, Lewis.
Good morning, church. Okay, first reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 to 4. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We'll jump down to verse 14 now, verses 14 to 22. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. We'll jump down to verse 35 now, to verse 45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And then they found him. They exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Thanks, Louise. Wonder whether you have ever made a big announcement. Have you made a big announcement? Maybe that you're getting married, or you're engaged, or getting married, or you're pregnant, or you're starting a new job, or retiring. How did you make the big announcement? What do people do to make big announcements? What sort of things do they do? Come on, you can speak up. Twitter? Yeah, go on Twitter. What else? There are some media gurus in amongst us. What would you do? Facebook, social media, yeah. Have a party. Yes, throw a big party. Invitations, yeah. Loudspeaker. There you go. Go around with a loudspeaker, yeah. Write a book. Yep. And then publish it. Yeah, don't keep it to yourself. Publish it. Yeah, so, I mean, there are so many ways that you could make big announcements, right? And people might put a nice photo, if you're engaged, with a ring and say, "I said yes," or something. A scan video or a photo of a baby in the womb to announce a pregnancy. Because you want people to know the details. You want them to be excited. So here in Mark chapter 1, Mark makes a big announcement. He makes the big announcement. The king is here. The king, the real king, is here. And what does he tell about this king? I want to highlight four aspects of this king from Mark chapter 1. The very first thing Mark records is the testimonies of dependable witnesses to assure us that Jesus is all what he is claiming to be. The witnesses, king's witnesses. The very first witness is Scripture or the Bible, isn't it? As all the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all stress the point that Jesus didn't appear in a vacuum. His coming was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years ago. There were some specific details, right, that mentioned in the Old Testament, his birthplace, his family line, about his mother, his mission, his death and his resurrection. Here in Mark chapter 1 verse 2, Mark says, God promised to prophet Isaiah and also Malachi to send a messenger ahead of the king. To announce, to prepare, to tell people of the arrival of this king. Especially for us living 2,000 years after Jesus, Scripture, the Bible, is the main witness for the works and the words of Jesus, isn't it? We find Jesus in the Bible, and if we hear about Jesus from somewhere else, we need to come back to the Bible, because it is here we find the witness, the true witness to Jesus. So that's why it is important that we spend quality time in God's Word. And the second witness that we have in these verses is John the Baptizer. As the messenger who came ahead of the king, his role was to point people and prepare them to meet the king. So in verse 7 and 8, he says to the people coming to be baptized by him, he says, "I am not the Messiah. I am not the king. There's one greater who is coming after me. I just have water to baptize you. But the one coming after me has the Holy Spirit to empower you to change your ways. I can't save you, but he can. So follow him." His job was to point people to be a witness to the coming king. And third, we have the divine witnesses, don't we? Mark doesn't give a lot of details about Jesus' baptism like other Gospels. But he tells one important thing, doesn't he? As Jesus was coming out of the water, he says, "The heavens tore open, the sky tore open, and a dove comes, the Holy Spirit. And you hear the voice of the Father saying, 'You are my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased.'" See, the man who just got baptized, who came out of the water, is not just a Jewish man, an ordinary man. He's the Son of God, the one whom God loves, the one whom God is pleased with. So you have the Scripture, the baptizer, you have the divine witnesses, and we have the signs and the wonders, don't we, in this chapter. All the miracles of Jesus. Here in the rest of the chapter, there are scattered miracles, these supernatural things that happened as Jesus was walking along amongst the people. Various miracles performed by Jesus are recorded. And as we will see, these were not the focus of Jesus' ministry. He didn't come to perform miracles or cast out demons, but they were powerful pointers, witnesses to who Jesus is, his power, his authority, his dominion, his identity. So what do we do with all these witnesses? I guess the very first thing that Mark wants us to understand is who Jesus is credible. We have witnesses, credible witnesses. And the second thing he wants us to do is, don't stop at the witnesses. Go where they're pointing to. Imagine you are driving down, I guess, Parramatta Road, and then you see this sign to Sydney Olympic Park. It is foolish, isn't it, to just stop in front of this sign and take a photo and say, "Hey, I've been to the Olympic Park." That's foolish, isn't it? That's what Mark says. Don't stop at reading the Bible. Don't stop at the pastor or the evangelist or your Christian friend who told you about Jesus. Don't stop at the miracles and the signs and the wonders. Follow the signs. Find Jesus and follow him. Now, the second thing that he Mark wants us to tell about these signs and wonders or the witnesses is, like John the Baptist, and Peter and the other disciples, we too must be witnesses of Jesus to those around us. You might want to use scripture. You might want to use your own stories, how Jesus has worked in your life. Pray for miracles. God might use those miracles that he is still performing to point people to Jesus, not ourselves, so that they too can find and follow Jesus. And the second aspect about Jesus is his mission, isn't it, that we find in Mark chapter 1. King's mission. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Mark says, once John the baptizer was put in prison, Jesus went out proclaiming the good news of God. He went out telling people, announcing, preaching that the kingdom of God is near. That God was about to rule in history in a new and a perfect way. Setting wrongs right, bringing healing and peace and joy and forgiveness in people's hearts. And people didn't have to go looking for it, because in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come near. Now people have the opportunity to become part of God's kingdom. How? It says, repent and believe the good news. Now, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we looked at repentance, didn't we? Repent is you make a U-turn. We are to turn from the way we were living, me-centered ways of living, and turn to Jesus. Because if there is a turning from, there has to be a turning to. We must turn to God by believing in the good news of Jesus. Because Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, the only way to become part of God's kingdom. Now think about it, when Jesus calls people to repent and believe in him, it is essentially a call to follow him, isn't it? A call to follow him. And we see the very first example of it in verses 14 to 20, which Lewis read earlier. Jesus calls four fishermen and he says, come, follow me. And they follow Jesus. Simon Peter was one of them. They leave behind their fishing nets, their boats, their old life, and they follow Jesus. Now there is nothing wrong in fishing, it's not sinful to fish. But Mark wants to show, to be part of God's kingdom, to be a follower of Jesus, your priorities must change. Jesus becomes your priority. He becomes your focus. The reason that you do what you do. You see, friends, Jesus came to tell the good news. Not to perform miracles, not to be the popular guy. So one day when all the people are flocking around him for more miracles, Jesus says, well, let's go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach the good news. That's why I came. Then he went and preached the good news. Because that was his mission, wasn't it? And when we follow him, you know what happens? His mission becomes our mission. You see, at the end of Mark's gospel, Jesus commissions the disciples, doesn't he? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. As Jesus' followers, we are to be his messengers and ambassadors and evangelists and preachers. Taking the good news to our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, our universities, and indeed to places around the world where the good news has not reached yet. That's his king's mission. It becomes our mission, isn't it, as we follow him. And third, we see king's authority. As Jesus taught people, verse 22, people recognized there was something different about this rabbi. He had an authority that the teachers of the law didn't have. I mean, the teachers of the law of Jesus' day, they had borrowed authority. They had kind of the positional authority of their title as well. And then we see in verse 25, Jesus has this authority even to cast out demons. He commands them not to speak, and they are quiet and they depart. What sort of authority is this, they ask? A new teaching with authority. You know, when Jesus said things happened. Sicknesses leave. Demons tremble. Winds and waves obey him. The dead are raised. When he calls people, they obey. Why? Because in Jesus, we don't have an ordinary king. We have the Almighty God himself. The second person of the Trinity come down. The fullness of God dwells in him. And he has all the power, the authority of God in him. Just imagine Peter and his three friends. Like on their first day, they've just heard him teach like this man with authority. And then the next thing that they see is Jesus performing this great miracle. I mean, they have this front row seat of seeing Jesus' power and authority, right? It would have been amazing to be there. They would have felt secure with Jesus, right? And I wonder whether that's the reason why when they go home that day, Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and they say, oh, let's tell Jesus. Oh, he might be able to. We've seen him do the miracle. I mean, I'm sure he can do that. And he did. He did. I guess not just to them, but to us who follow him, who have trusted Jesus today. It should give us great comfort to know that he has the power and the authority not only to give us access to the kingdom of God, but to provide for us, to guide us and protect us, those who follow him. And when he sends us out as ambassadors and witnesses of him, we don't go of our own authority. No, we go with his authority, don't we? It is he who works in and through us to bring people into his kingdom. And finally, we are told about the king's heart. The king's heart. And as we read the Gospels, one of the things that we are confronted is the heart of Jesus. You know, his heart went out to those who were suffering, those who were marginalized, those who were outcasts, those who didn't have a voice. You see, after healing Simon's mother-in-law, verse 32 to 34, he spends the night healing people with all sorts of diseases. We are told that the whole village turned up at Peter's door after sunset, because it was the Sabbath day. And once he's done that, next day he goes to pray, and then he tells the disciples, well, we are going somewhere else. And you know what he does? He goes and heals a leper. Verses 40 to 45. Now, we don't hear much about leprosy today because of the modern medicine, but it still exists. But in Jesus' day, to be a leper was the most dreadful thing to have happened to a person. I don't want to go into details, but it disfigures you. And you are thrown out of the community. You are treated as an outcast, and nobody will touch you. Because to touch you is to become unclean. And when this man begged Jesus to clean him, you know what Jesus did? Jesus was filled with compassion. And he did the most unthinkable, the most socially unacceptable thing, didn't he? He touches him. And he didn't have to do that, right? He could have just said a word and he would have been healed. But he touches him. Why does he do that? Because he loves him. Jesus, you know what happens? Jesus becomes unclean himself to clean this man. Now, does that remind you of something else? If you read on the book of Mark, you will notice this is exactly what Jesus would do on a cross to save sinners. He took the sins of the whole world, sins of you and me, and he died on a cross. He became unclean so that you and I can become clean. Why would he do that? Because his heart is full of compassion for the outcast and the sinner. It is his unconditional love for you and me that brought him down from heaven and took him all the way to the cross. Now, friends, we may never fully understand the love that Jesus has for us. But we must always be thankful for Jesus' love, his sacrificial love. He loved us while we were still sinners, didn't he? And if we have been loved by God, then friends, our lives need to be shaped by his love. To love like Jesus, to love the outcast, the widow, the homeless, the refugee, the orphan, the sinner, the addict, the prisoner, and the annoying neighbor and your co-worker, your friend who is pestering you. To reach out to them, to love them, to sit with them, to care for them, so that they would experience God's love through you and I. Now, this is the big announcement, isn't it, of Mark chapter 1. That the King is here. He has witnesses. He has a mission. He has authority. And he has a compassionate heart. And Mark invites us to follow the real King. But he doesn't want us to follow him like people would follow Elon Musk or Katy Perry or who are you following, Bruce? Taylor Swift. You know, following from a distance, looking at all their posts and what they're doing and putting a like to something that you like of them. And he doesn't want us to follow Jesus like that. He wants us to follow him closely. He wants us to engage with him every day. He wants us to know him. He wants us to get into his shoes. He wants us to go and have a meal with him. And that's what Peter and the disciples did, right? And that's how they got to know Jesus. Do you want to follow Jesus? Do like the first disciples did. Engage with him. And then we follow the real King. We will become his witnesses. And his mission of sharing the good news will become our mission. And we will live and go in His authority, not our own authority. And we will live our lives continually being shaped by His love. And that should be our prayer as we journey with Jesus, not just journeying through Mark, that we would be shaped by Him. We would be living and going with His authority. We would be having His mission in our heart, and we would be His witnesses wherever we are. All right? Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for the great announcement that the King is here and He is our King. And Lord, we thank You that we are called to follow Jesus, the real King. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have followed things and people that doesn't really satisfy us. And today, help us to make that decision, if we haven't made that decision yet, to follow Jesus. Like Peter and his three friends, Lord, help us to start following Jesus. Lord, those of us who have been following Jesus, help us to, Lord, to have His mission in our heart. Help us to be His witnesses. Help us to, Lord, live as His followers with authority and wisdom. And Lord, help us to be shaped by His love. We ask this, Father, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.